We're going to do a study tonight on authority. Say authority. And that is always an interesting topic. There are some things that we don't have to allow because of our authority in Christ and our personal authority. We put up with things sometimes, tolerate things. We don't have to. Jesus said that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That what we do down here should reflect what God is doing in his area. And people who don't have authority or understand authority or submit to authority, then they operate in their own strength and their own wisdom. They make a lot of mistakes and do very foolish things. So tonight, we're going to look at authority and begin with giving some definitions. Then we'll go into the scripture afterwards. Okay, so what is authority? What is it? Authority is defined as the power or right to enforce obedience, delegated power, or personal influence. That's a regular definition of authority. Authority can be divine, wise or foolish, helpful or destructive, it can be imposed by force. It is not something we can take, it is given. And so this definition, the power right to enforce obedience. Now, you know, we don't like to think about enforcing obedience in among the church, but taking authority in the widest realm that, you know, obviously police officers have authority to enforce the law, the law enforcement officers. And so if one is going fast, we should be obedient to drive a speed limit. If we go too fast, then you may get a citation for going too fast. And so that in that level, there's an enforcement aspect of authority. As parents having authority, you can enforce obedience where your children are concerned, you know. So we understand that. Now, of course, in the church, we take a different view because we are all believers in Christ. We're all followers of Christ. And even though we have pastors and elders, our primary job is not to enforce anything. Our primary job is to teach the word and pray. You know, the Bible does say rebuke and admonish. You know, so we have those functions as well. We can certainly correct. But the authority we have is not primarily to enforce. It's primarily to teach. It's primarily to bring God's kingdom to people and to say, now, here's the way you should walk in this way right here. Amen. So obviously the ministers have been given authority by the state. We can marry people and so forth. So there's all kind of aspects of authority to look at. Whenever one person relates to another person positively, they are exercising or receiving authority at a personal level. Okay, so if you're on the job and you're acting positive towards your boss, towards your supervisor, then, of course, you're recognizing that person's authority. And so you're following the instructions, you're doing the job, taking care of your business, and there's a positive aspect to that. Now, when people get adversarial, you know, toward their bosses and such, then it can be a problem because if the boss perceives that you got a problem with authority or you got a problem with following reasonable instructions, then there's a concern there. This person doesn't recognize the importance of authority. So hence the term insubordination. That term comes up. So human society, you know, would cease to operate in a meaningful way if there was not submission to authority. You know, we just can't get much done if people don't recognize other people. Think about it. I mean, we're all just people. I mean, you go to the airport, you got some people wearing the uniform that says TSA, Security Administration. You got some people wearing a pilot outfit. You got the clerks. You got the attendants. You got the people out on the tarmac who have a uniform. They're bringing fuel to the airplane or their service airplane. And it's all just people. Just people, equal people. And yet we recognize all the different roles that people have and their authority and their expertise. And so when everybody just says, and then up in the tower are their traffic control people. And they say who flies, who takes off, when, who can land. And so we just all agree that let's just work with everybody here at whatever level they are with their authority. And everyone gets to fly and get across country and go where they're going. So it's, we take it for granted, but it's all a volunteer system. In our country, we got the Constitution. We were in England, and they have a different manner of government called a monarchy, where they have the Queen, and the Queen is the head of state, but they still have elected officials who govern them directly. So the Queen oversees the government, and the government relates to the people directly. In our government, the president is the head of state and is the chief executive. In England, you have the head of state is the queen, and chief executive would be the prime minister and people, okay? But however it's structured, it is designed by God ultimately to bring a sense of order and get things done. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all. And then he says, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now you should know that when Paul wrote this to Timothy, the king who was alive at the time was a man named Nero. And Nero was a Caesar, but he was in a different Caesar office, but he was a particularly evil person, mean person. So Paul, knowing this, still said, you pray for kings, all in authority, that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life. Now, in praying for, you know, people in authority, our prayers do several things, okay? We know that our prayers do not directly control people. You can pray for people, but your prayers do not force their will necessarily. What our prayers, I think, do most of all is help us. We're the ones who are most affected by positive prayers. We are the ones that are helped to relate to people in government, people all around us, and especially recognizing how authority works, then our prayers help keep us in a proper position in our thinking. For example, you know, I'm not shy about being critical of government and such when I need to be, but I'm not going to be derogatory. I'm not going to slander, you know. In American government, we don't even have kings, by the way. We only have kings. So the part of this that pertains to us is for all in authority, because the president is not a king, okay? A king is somebody you don't even vote in. You have no control over them whatsoever. A king is somebody who was in by their, you know, birth, you know, son of a king or queen and so forth. And so, but we in our country, we elect and can unelect, you know, these folks. So, and also in our government, our structure is such that we're actually encouraged to seek government for redress of grievances. That's a part of our Constitution. You can actually submit your grievance. You can't do that in monarchies, in absolute monarchies. You can't do that. So the point is, again, this is more for us, though. And as we pray, then that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. It's not that necessarily that a president, a king, whoever it is, will give us peace, but that your prayers will produce peace in you. That's from Sunday's lesson, right? That your prayers produce peace in you. Amen. And while if somebody's out of control and I pray for them, through my prayer, I can't guarantee they'll stop being out of control. God can restrain them. God can do things, but it'll certainly help me. It'll help me relate. You know, sometimes your prayer for out of control person helps you get out the way. It helps you just stay out the way, you know. So however God chooses to do it, one thing's for sure, the authority that God has set up in the earth, we who are believers in Christ are most responsible for helping everybody respect the authority that God has set up. And so our witness, in fact, also helps that. We go back to my lesson now. Now, what is biblical authority? So I gave you authority in general. What's biblical authority? Biblical authority, the most common word that we have in the Bible that's translated authority is the word exousia. And the word literally means liberty to do what one pleases, the ability or strength with which one is endued. Or it also means the power or rule, the power of rule or government. So then exousia is a word, if you read the Bible and look at a Greek translation or Greek references, you'll see exousia. And exousia is like this. It's like it's authority that one has based on one's appointment, one's office. So obviously as a pastor, I have authority as a pastor to teach, to cover people, to help people out. We have people authorized as deacons and elders. And so we all have, related but different operations. And so the people in the church choose to recognize that authority. They choose to respect that authority. Now, in fact, what rebellion is really when people reject authority. When people choose not to respect or follow or submit to what's already there, what's already established. That's rebellion. Whether it's in the church or in the community, toward government. So for example, I don't care how mad I get at government, I'm still gonna pay taxes. See? So it's possible to not be happy with something, but you still submit it. I heard this years ago, Obama not my president, or they say now, Trump ain't my president. No, he's your president. See, it's rebellion to say that the president isn't your president because you didn't vote for him. We don't operate like that. Whoever becomes president, that's our president, for good or for bad. And that's so a Christian's attitude is much different than folks in the world. Exousia, once one has it, we recognize it. We respect it. Okay. Now, the other word in the Bible for authority or power is the word dunamis. And you'll see that word as power or authority sometime. Now, dunamis is a word that really we use for dynamite. Dunamis is inherent power, okay? Whereas exousia is like recognized power. And my best example is this. If a person standing out there on the street with a police officer uniform and hat and badge and all that, and if they say to a car, stop, they have exousia, they have the right to say stop. And so the driver stops the car. That's good because the policeman can't actually stop the car. So he don't have the power. He don't have the dunamis. Now, dunamis would be like some imaginary superhero figure. Imagine Superman. If he says stop the car, you keep going. He just slammed the car into the ground. He got the power to stop it. That's inherent power. So in the Bible, we have examples of both. We have examples of both. We have dunamis and we have exousia. And so, again, that's part of the root behind the word power and sometimes authority. All right, let's look at scripture now. Let's go to John chapter 10. Somebody find John 10. We'll have you read verse 18. And then somebody find John chapter 5. All right, look for John 10. John 10, 18 is the verse. We're going to go to John chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 19. So Who has John 10 first? Okay, read that, please.
No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.
I have power, that's the word power, and that's authority, that's exousia, to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Now, Jesus had, he had both. He had exousia, he had dunamis. He had both, we know this. But the point is, notice that Jesus made that statement. I mean, that's a tremendously powerful statement, that no one takes my life from me. Now, folk can take our lives, but no one can take Jesus' life. Because as he said here, he received that power and authority from his Father. He had power to lay it down and take it back. And that's a prediction of resurrection, isn't it? Yes, resurrection power. He can lay it down. He can take it up. All right, next verse, let's hear from who has John chapter 5, okay? In verse 19, please.
Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.
Yes, so notice that Jesus, even Jesus Christ, did not create it on authority. Authority, again, we said earlier, we don't create authority, right? We receive authority. Authority is delegated to us, okay? It's given to us. So even Jesus gave the example here in his ministry, and that the authority, that things he did. I'm doing what the Father wants me to do. I'm authorized on his behalf, you know? And all of you in your jobs and stations in life, you've had the same experience where the job you did, where you worked, where you served and ministered, you operated because someone authorized you to do that, to be in that position, you know, to represent others in your position. And that's something that everyone must remember. I mean, you know, we have these instances of police officers doing these weird things and strange and sometimes bad things. And it's as if they don't appreciate the fact that, you know, you got the badge and the gun and all this, but you're not authorized to push people around and treat people cruelly, you know. You're authorized to enforce the law if a law is being broken. That's a very important point, you know. And this and all this foolishness that comes up, I mean, like the guy that here in the city who was at a pool where he's leasing an apartment. He's down at the pool. The lady asked him to leave, you know. And he said, I'm not leaving. I live here. And so she calls the police, all right? And the police came. First of all, police should not even come to that. What law is being broken, see? So the point is, everybody, police, whomever, we all have to understand our scope of authority. And then work within our authority and know when we're operating outside of our authority. Now, it's more of, you know, cops, you know, have a hard job. We appreciate what they do. We really do. And they have, you know, they have guns and things. But they ought not take that to the head. You know, don't take that the wrong way. And again, most cops don't. Most cops do a really good job. We understand that. We just happen to hear about the bad apples. You know, I know that.
People sometimes in just regular business, at the clerk at the store, been there for a long time and having a bad day and being short with people and you're not treating customers with courtesy and just kind of losing sight, you know, that you represent somebody else here now. This is how you feel. We don't really care how you feel, you know. What you're going through is important, but it's not relevant now. So really authority has to do with taking on a role, taking on a position and a posture to reflect those who put you there. And it takes some time, a lot of strength to push yourself down, you know, and then keep up high what you're supposed to be doing and not dip into a bunch of self, you know, amen? Yeah. I had a teacher in school. I told you the story. The teacher here, he had an anger issue. Fourth or fifth grade, we're in shop. And the teacher had a, he had a bad attitude. And so he had a problem, you know, letting it out, you know. So he had some pieces of wood about this big square cut and stacked up, you know, on his desk. And he would throw it at you. He'd say, look out, and say the N-word. Look out, and throw the piece of wood at you. Now, he'd try to miss you, you know, but he'd hit you sometime. He said, you ends, y'all hacking up my wood, you're messing up my wood, all this kind of stuff. So that's an extreme example of misused authority, right? I got some projects at my house now I made in that shop class in fifth grade. You know, he knew his stuff. I guess, here it is, I guess he's so good, you couldn't get rid of him.
Was he an N himself?
He certainly acted like one, didn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he's a black guy. He's black. But my point is, we just should not abuse authority. That's all I'm saying. You got to stay in your role, you know, and throwing wood across the room and stuff is not what you're there for. Amen. I say that now, almost seems unbelievable. It actually happened, though, and it was normal, too. It seemed normal to us, okay? That's the worst part. It seemed actually normal. This is part of your day. You know, you do something, wood come flying your way. He warned you, look out. Then he threw it. You got a chance to duck. And if you got hit, it was your fault, right? Because I told you, look out. Anyway, let me go on. All right. So Jesus came acting on the authority of his heavenly Father. Even Jesus, as mighty and powerful as he is, he acted on the authority given to him by his Father. That is so important. And if it's good enough for him, it is certainly good enough for us. Let's hear John 5, verse 30. Same chapter, verse 30.
My own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I speak not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
See, that's the attitude we should have. You know, Jesus said, I'm not doing anything on my own. I mean, this teacher I had was on his own, right? He initially was placed there, but he lost connection with the people who put him in that position. But Jesus makes it clear, I'm not doing anything that's apart from what I'm being instructed to do. Look at Mark chapter 1. Look at Mark 1 and Luke 4, or who wants to find Mark 1 for us? And all of us look there. Who wants to read Mark 1 for us? And then also Luke chapter 4. Mark chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 4. Mark 1, 22 and Luke 4, 31. Who has Mark? Okay, go ahead.
They were astonished at the teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obeyed.
Yeah, wow. So Jesus came on the scene, and the people recognize that the words he spoke and the actions he took, it was different than what they were used to. And the difference was God authorized him. And with God's authorization came the ability and the power and the anointing and the grace to do things in a different way. And so, you know, people can't perceive when you know, other people show up. And they have authority or not authority. They have been authorized. They seem to have skill and ability. They're doing this in a way that we're not accustomed to seeing it done. All right? And we appreciate that in people who are, we say, professionals, you know. That's why, again, I appreciate professional cops who operate in a professional manner. You know, we respect what they do. It's a difficult job. It's a dangerous job. And those who do it well ought to be commended. All right? But in the essence, what they're only just doing what they've been trained to do. And they're doing their training. They're doing it in the proper manner. They're doing it in a way in which they should do it. And so we appreciate that. We expect that, everybody. And we ought to be harsh with those who do it wrong, because that's too much power, you know, to misuse. So then, so Jesus shows up at this place in the synagogue. And the funny part was, this man had probably always been in the synagogue. He probably a regular church member, you know what I'm saying? But when Jesus showed up with his authority and power, that demon sensed that. And he just jumped up, cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone." Jesus said, "I ain't bother you in the first place. I just walked in here. But leave us alone. Leave us alone." You know, he just manifested that spirit manifest. I mean, in the presence of light, the darkness reacted. All right. And then this person, through the spirit, demonic spirit, began to just say things, you know, "Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." He would have said more, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Be quiet and come out of him." And so the demon threw the man down and he came on out. So that's a story that just illustrates both the exousia, the positional authority, and the inherent power in Jesus Christ. And all of us, we both have exousia. We all have exousia and dunamis through Christ. And also it bears witness to the fact that sometimes the things you encounter in your life, it could be a demon manifesting in somebody. You know, sometimes, you know, people just go there, you know. I won't, like, it's rare, but it does happen. It does happen. And so I was preaching one time at my granddad's church, and so somebody got up and said, "Preach, boy, preach, you preach, preach, boy, preach, you preach, preach, boy." I said, "Sit down, Jesus' name." Sat right down. See, some stuff, some kind, some flattery, it's actually demonic. You know, I mean, I should have been encouraged by it, but the way it was said, it wasn't with a smile, you know. It wasn't like a joyful exhortation. It was an intense, weird thing. I just shut it down, you know. So it happens. This actually happens. You know, sometimes people respond. And now listen, y'all, don't just assume it's the devil in somebody. It's mostly them, okay? 99% of the time, it's going to be them, okay? Ain't no devil in sight. But if it's demonic, you'll know that too, okay? And remember one time we was in service. I got all these stories, you know. In our house church we had years ago, I think Michael was a baby, and Michael was crying. We had this preacher in there, some kind of preacher around us. He tried to rebuke the demon in my son. I said, "Oh, no, man, no. That ain't no demon, you know. I had to deal with that." So, you know, I don't have, you know, sometimes when you're a minister, a person, or a man of God, woman of God, you don't have the luxury of being quiet about everything. You got to sometimes speak into things, you know. It's not, you don't really want to. You really don't want to, because your reaction's going to be bad sometime. But really, if, you know, if you're a man of God, woman of God, and you realize something's happening, and you're assigned to handle it, then handle it. Shut it down, or again, whatever you declare lawful is lawful. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. And so sometimes you got to do that, and it may be subtle. You may do it in very subtle ways. You may do that sometime in a way that's not even apparent that you're operating in some sort of a special grace. So Jesus is our best example. And because of Jesus' authority, then many people responded to him in a positive way. I mean, a lot of people did. There was a few examples of somebody didn't respond in a positive way, but most people responded in a very positive way. We say blind Bartimaeus. I always say the formerly blind Bartimaeus. He's a formerly blind Bartimaeus. And so Jesus is going down the road there. And all, people are all with him. He's on the way somewhere. And Bartimaeus cries out, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And the Bible says Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. And that's important because it was not customary to recognize people who were disabled, who were deemed to be cursed. It was not customary. In fact, they said to him, "Man, be quiet. You should be quiet." The custom was you shouldn't speak out. You should, suffer in silence. And the man, the Bible said, he spoke out all the more, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and looked at him, called for him, and, "What do you want?" See? So Jesus dignified the man, a man who was blind, disabled, a man that society had cast aside. Jesus used his authority and his power to help somebody that nobody else would even want much to do with. That's a good example of how we can use authority. Authority and power should be used to help people. Amen. I mean, don't think of it just as a way to bind the devil. It's way more than that. In fact, you're going to use authority and power to help people more than bind the devil. Okay? It's just more to things than the devil. Like I always tell you, people talking about, "I got the gifts of discernment. I see a demon." Why is it all y'all see is demons all the time? You know what I'm saying? If you got discernment, why you always see a demon? What's wrong with you? In fact, the word or the gift is not gift of discernment anyway. It's called the discerning of spirits. That's exactly what it says. And it's not discerning someone's mood and thing, or it's just recognizing what's operating. And so the Bible says that, okay, where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace abounds. So in my thinking, there's more grace operating than sin. There's more God than the devil operating. So why don't folk talk about what God is doing? Why is it always what's wrong? Amen, somebody? Now, news media, serves a role. They have an important purpose, in our society. But they always give us the bad news, I mean, when it come on in the evening, the 5 o'clock news, I'll say the 5 o'clock bad news. 12 o'clock bad news. 10 o'clock bad news. Because it's what's going to be. Bad news. But that's their job. I understand that. And now, they all try to mix it up and put a good story in there at the end. Somebody saved a dog, Something like that. Rescued a dog, Well, that's a good thing. But we as God's people, though, our authority has been given to us to do good. Do good. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how Christ came. Look there. Look there, please. Acts 10. I should look at it here. Let somebody read that. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. And someone read verse 38. Amen. And that was his assignment, and we're joint heirs with Christ. Well, that's our assignment too. Going about doing good. And that's a pretty broad category, doing good. We see the good he did. Fed people, encouraged people, and hugged the children, and dealt with demonic forces and things. Forgave a woman caught in adultery. All these things he did because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, again, when you see power, it's going to mean either exousia or dunamis. I don't know which one is being used there, but Jesus came with that mission, and he did that. He did that. Now, look at Matthew 8. Let's talk about the Roman centurion. This is always an important story when we talk about authority. It's just one of the best examples in the Bible. So I go here. Every time I teach on authority, we end up here because it's the best place to go. Matthew chapter 8. And someone read for us from verse 5. And I'll just stop you. So we got the main part of that story. And it's remarkable because the centurion, first of all, was a Roman. not a Jew, not a disciple of Christ, not a man you would expect to know much about the things of God. And in fact, he did not know much about things of God, but he knew authority. He knew authority. And so that he instantly recognized what Jesus was doing. So when Jesus Christ came in a region, centurion went directly to him and said, "Lord, my servant is dying at home, paralyzed. He's tormented. He's sick. And, you know, he's oppressed and everything." And so Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the next thing centurion said revealed his understanding. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy you should come." And he's saying, "That's, you don't have to come." He said, "But speak only a word, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." That's like, boom, you know. Jesus went like all week, and went for, I don't know how long he went. Actually, he never heard this before, even from his own disciples. Understood that Jesus doesn't have to go to where the need is. Jesus has enough authority not just to go to where the need is and pray. He has so much authority, he can stand in the spot he's standing in right now. And he can speak a word. He can speak a word and the servant shall be healed. And he explained why he knew it. He says, "I am also a man." Also, meaning I'm like you, Jesus, in that I have people under me. I have authority to delegate. I have authority to speak. And I can say to one, "Go," and he goes. I can say to one, "Come," and he comes. I can say, "Do this," and he does it. Praise God. Now, this is old news for us, but at the time, it was revolutionary for somebody to get this, because Christ was prepared to walk all the way across town. That's where his faith may have been. His faith, most people's faith, their faith was, you know, like the woman who had issue of blood. If I can touch the garment, I can heal. That's where her faith was. The fact is, she could have stayed where she was and got healed. But her faith was, "If I can just touch his garment." Well, she did that much, thank God. The centurion was at a different level. The centurion said, "Hey, man, don't come over here. Speak a word." Just like I tell my lieutenants and captains and whoever, I give them orders, they go do it. And so, Jesus, whatever you say gets done. Whatever you say gets done. Verse 10, "And when Jesus heard it, he marveled." He marveled and said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And that was commenting on the fact that he was talking to a Roman centurion. Wasn't talking to a Jew. Wasn't talking to a disciple. So this lesson on the for us reminds us and stirs up in us to remember that when you've been given authority, you can act and do the things that God says do. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. Because this is what you've been given by God to do. Amen? I was, Saturday, we had a men's breakfast on Saturday. I was going to the store and I stopped off, got some Starbucks. And I saw Intamin's Bakery. I said, "Oh yeah, Intamin's over there. Let me get something for the guys, you know." So I go over to Intamin's Bakery, but they're closed. They're open to 10 o'clock on Saturday, which is too late for me to get stuff for the men. So then I saw a woman who parked her car and was walking to the door. I thought, poor woman, she don't even know. She got her mouth set, you know. "Yeah, I'm gonna give me some sweets over here, you know." Mm-hmm. I thought I should tell her, but I'm not gonna tell her. I might scare her, you know. And I did. So she went over there and got a key out, unlocked that door and walked in. She had the key. She had authority. I'm the one who was out. I'm the one And but I thought it's a funny story how authority works. The things that people can't do, you can do, because you got a key.
Amen.
Amen. You got authority to do things. You've got a key that people don't have. We don't have Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So it said he marveled at this centurion's response and said, "I have not found such great faith, not in Israel."